Welcome, everybody, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. Let's begin as we usually do with just taking a few moments to be in silence together. Simply ceasing from whatever we've been doing, just to take that moment to go within. Inviting the Holy Spirit to lead our way. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. So if we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil open mind, we can simply pause and ask the Holy Spirit to give us whatever it is that we need. And with the love in your heart and light in your mind, coming together to our perception of this time and place. All right, so we'll pick up where we left off last week, and I'll go through the three different editions. So in the Sparkle edition, it's on page 157. About halfway down the page, it is the sentence reads, "The ego therefore opposes all appreciation." That's how it starts. Page 157 in the Sparkle edition. In the original edition, I just lost my page. Okay, I think I got it. In the original edition, we're at chapter 7, part 7. And in part 7, it's a few paragraphs into that. It's paragraph number 59. The ego, therefore, opposes all appreciation is how it starts also. And then finally, last but not least, in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it is page 124, paragraph number 5. So it's also in chapter 7, but in the FIP edition, it's part 6. Again, page 124 in FIP. All right, so let's do some reading. So before I begin, I'll just reiterate to the title of the section is From Vigilance to Peace. So basically we're talking about how we need vigilance right now in order to learn that actually we don't need to be vigilant for anything because love and peace is already what we are. But right now when our mind is split and we believe in this ego and this crazy world, crazy existence, we need that vigilance to be choosing for the Holy Spirit instead of the ego. So here we go. The ego therefore opposes all appreciation, all recognition, all sane perception, and all knowledge. It perceives their threat as total because it senses the fact that all commitments the mind makes are total. Forced therefore to detach itself from you who are mind, it is willing to attach itself to anything else, but there is nothing else. It does not follow that the mind cannot make illusions, but it does follow that if it makes illusions, it will believe in them because that is how it made them. So what it's saying here is just that there is nothing else except the mind of God, that mind that we share in the mind of God. And because there's nothing else, whatever the ego is seemingly trying to attach itself to, there's really just nothing there. The ego is just this wild idea. And so that's where this idea of illusions comes from, because we've simply made them by believing in them. Does anybody have anything that stands out to you about that paragraph? Anything that comes forward? We'll keep going. The Holy Spirit undoes illusions without attacking them, merely because he cannot perceive them at all. They therefore do not exist for him. He resolves the apparent conflict which they engender by perceiving conflict as meaningless. We said before that the Holy Spirit perceives the conflict exactly as it is, and it is meaningless. The Holy Spirit does not want you to understand conflict. He wants you to realize that because conflict is meaningless, it cannot be understood. We have already said that understanding brings appreciation, and appreciation brings love. Nothing else can be understood because nothing else is real, and therefore nothing else has meaning. I'll just pause there for a minute. I know for me, the sentence that really pops out at me in this particular paragraph is kind of midway through where it says, the Holy Spirit does not want you to understand conflict. He wants you to realize that because conflict is meaningless, it cannot be understood. That, to me, has helped me so many times in the past, that sentence there, because the ego loves to analyze, and one of the things that the Course says is that it's not necessary to follow fear through all of its circuitous routes. So if you think about, again, you know, my training comes from, I have a counseling background and have taken advantage of counseling in the past, and it was exactly what I needed at the time. And yet part of what that entailed was sort of, in a sense, tracing fear through all of its circuitous routes, like trying to figure things out, trying to analyze, you know, why am I this way? Like, where does this come from? And the Course is actually saying that we don't have to do that. Conflict is meaningless and can't be understood. It's of the ego, and we can be through that in an instant, the moment that we have that recognition that, you know, there's something much greater than what our body size perceives. So that's just a sentence that really pops out at me that I really like, because I found it so helpful. It's a reminder to me just to turn to the Holy Spirit.
Hey, Corinne, it's Megan.
Hey, Megan.
So I just wanted to add, I think, you know, just hearing what you said and listening to you read, it just reinforces, like, a general relief, like, I don't have to figure this stuff out.
Yes.
You know, for so long I've been, like, so, what I thought was, like, so mentally smart, and I have to, like, figure everything out and figure everybody's problems out and figure my problems out, and just, like, continually getting this message of, like, I don't have to do these things, and, like, I can free myself from all this mental torture and just, like, you know, release it to this higher thing that I really do believe in, but it's just strengthening, like, that intelligence rather than and getting rid of my mental intelligence.
Right, right. Oh, that's
so, like, it's just been, like, reinforcing, like, just this relief, like, thank goodness, I don't have to keep thinking.
Yeah, and it's such a relief, isn't it? Like, it's like a weight off. It really is like a weight off. And I love how you said, too. Oh, go on, Deidre.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were done. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
I'm so sorry. I was just going to say, like, I was thinking of certain things that have happened to me in my life, and an area that my ego loves to go to town is how in my relationships with people, my ego loves to analyze why certain people respond in certain ways, in certain situations. Like, that, I would, for years, like, throughout high school and stuff, I'd be like, why did this person respond this way? Did I do something wrong? Did I do something? And that's just one of the areas my ego just goes to town for whatever reason. And I find it so comforting just knowing that anytime the ego is analyzing, you're in the ego.
Right.
It's one of those things that just kind of sneaks up on you, and you're like, oh, I'm analyzing again. I'm in the ego.
Right. I think we can all relate to that. That's great. What I was going to say, too, was, Megan, I love how you referred to it as like, you know, rather than using the intelligence of the ego, it's this new sort of intelligence that, you know, comes through us that we're learning how to use. It's a, you know, intelligence, so to speak, you know, that's beyond this world, and that calls to mind for me the intelligence piece, you know, in terms of there's a course quote that we read in a previous study group about the ego's ingenious thinking and how, you know, we can get really caught up in smartness and like being really smart and, you know, knowing it all and being able to figure things out. And that's all just of the ego, which can be such a blow, right?
Yeah, totally.
Such a blow. But so I like how you referred to it that way. That was great.
And it's actually a block to the spiritual eye, you know? All of that logic and analyzing.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
It really blocks you know, our connection with Source.
Absolutely. And yet at the same time, one of the things that's been coming up for me in the past few days, because I just got back, this weekend I was at the Omega Institute at my husband attended a mindfulness in education conference, and I got to hear some of it. And it just stood out to me so profoundly that even for those of us who maybe are caught up in that ingenious thinking, and yes, in a sense, it's a block, but in another sense, I just got this feeling that, like, everybody's going to the same place. Like, all roads are leading home, whether we are core students or hardcore scientists, because ultimately, you know, I mean, we've heard about how quantum physicists say all sorts of things that, you know, seem to resemble the Course. And I heard a neuroscientist talking about how the mind is not limited to the brain. And so just these, you know, these things that I catch here and there that just sort of makes me think that, you know what, like, it's all good. We're all going home. We're all going to the same place. We just have our different paths.
The concept of blocks is interesting because I used to think in those terms a lot, and it's not, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with thinking that way, but the more I study and the more I learn about connection to divine energy and just spirituality in general is that the only blocks that exist are the ones that we put there.
Absolutely.
So that they're an illusion too.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. It's just our belief that there are blocks there.
Yeah.
A lot of times I think, though, they are unconscious. You know, it's happening on an unconscious. I have an experience within a spiritual group talking to people that I felt very safe with talking this stuff. And I mentioned something about we're not a body. And this one woman became really called me on it. And I felt a lot of emotions around the whole situation. And I thought, you know, I actually felt angry at her, and I felt embarrassed in front of this. You know, I thought I was in a safe place talking to people who understood this. Well, it was such a good experience because I really did turn that over to the Holy Spirit, and I asked for clarity on it, and I really got it. Kind of had like an aha moment in a certain situation where she was coming from a place of logic. And of course she's not going to. I mean, if she was truly blocked by the world's thinking. It was so wonderful because I could hang out with her now. I mean, I feel good about her now. Because and he's talking here about, we have already said that understanding brings appreciation and appreciation brings love. And it was that understanding that I needed, you know, to let all of that go, because she was just, she was just coming from the place of the world.
That's, you know, I'm so glad that you said that and even said it the way that you did, because another way of putting it is, again, one of those sort of smack you in your face, you know, teachings of the Course is that if you, and I'm thinking about how you said, you know, she said that and you initially got angry. And how the Course is saying that if you, you know, are seeing the errors of your brother's ego or, you know, reacting to them, we have to be seeing through our own. So
right.
What happened, but you were able to drop your ego once, you know, that moment of recognition came in and, you know, made that big shift. So that's awesome.
But it was kind of like a whole series of little events and readings and happenings during the week that made me, that kind of pointed it all out to me in a much clearer way.
Mm.
I think the Holy Spirit is so subtle in his teaching.
Yes, so gentle.
So gentle and so subtle. But you do have to be paying attention.
Right. Yeah, I definitely agree. If we're filling up our mind with, you know, lots of other thoughts and distractions and stuff, you know, we're not listening, and then we're not going to see all those little miracles that are all around, all those little opportunities that present themselves for us to see differently. All right, shall we tackle the next paragraph? Where are we? If you will keep in mind what the Holy Spirit offers you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. If you will keep in mind what the Holy Spirit offers you, you cannot be vigilant for anything but God and his kingdom. The only reason you find this difficult is because you think there is something else. Belief does not require vigilance unless it is conflicted. If it is, there are conflicting components within it which have engendered a state of war, and vigilance therefore has become essential. Vigilance has no place at all in peace. It is necessary against beliefs which are not true and would never have been called upon by the Holy Spirit if you had not believed the untrue. You cannot deny that when you believe something, you have made it true for you. And I'll pause there. So this is that idea again, that where it says vigilance has no place at all in peace, it's necessary against beliefs which are not true. Our minds are believing things that are not true. And so vigilance comes in order for us to, again, being willing to turn those beliefs to the Holy Spirit to see them differently. But ultimately, when we find and know and recognize that we are that peace and are not in conflict, we don't need vigilance. Comments, examples, insights, anybody? It's good stuff.
Hi, this is Cindy. I just got on.
Cindy, welcome.
I didn't hear anything.
We
I
were
didn't
pausing.
Know if anybody was there. Okay, I'm sorry.
You came in mid-pause. No, I'm very glad you said hello.
Okay.
We're glad that you're here. We have Deidre, Sonia, Megan, and Paula on the line. And I think, is there anybody else who wants to say hi? I think we had another person join us.
Hi, this is Mel and Yolanda.
Hi, Mel and Yolanda. Welcome.
Thank you.
We're glad you're here.
So are we.
All
right. Me too.
Oh, this is Sonia.
Yes, Sonia.
I just was going to say, I definitely feel like I'm in a place of being vigilant because, you know, I do have conflicting thoughts, and so I definitely find myself being very vigilant, but I'm glad that I am being vigilant. I'm not just trying to, you know, let myself go into the mind wandering as much as I would have in the past.
Definitely. I completely relate. I feel like one of the things that I feel like is that we grow in our vigilance as our trust develops, because we recognize that when we trust in the Holy Spirit, in our inner guide, and we have these experiences that really reinforce these teachings and that really reinforce the fact that, you know, peace is natural, we our vigilance grows because we really see that this is something that we want. We really do want the peace of God. And so our vigilance grows. Thank you for sharing that, Sonia. I definitely resonate.
Oh, you're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Okay, next paragraph. When you believe what God does not know, your thought seems to contradict his, and this makes it appear as if you are attacking him. We have repeatedly emphasized that the ego does believe it can attack God and tries to persuade you that you have done this. If the mind cannot attack, the ego proceeds perfectly logically to the position that you cannot be mind. By not seeing you as you are, it can see itself as it wants to be. Aware of its weakness, the ego wants your allegiance, but not as you really are. The ego therefore wants to engage your mind in its own delusional system, because otherwise the light of your understanding would dispel it. Okay, so there's kind of a lot going on in this paragraph. And it's also talking about what is going on, too, on an unconscious level. So the ego, it's saying here that the ego believes that it can attack God, and yet, of course, we might even be able to wrap our head around the thought, like, that just seems sort of silly, you know, something attacking God. If the mind cannot attack God, the ego proceeds perfectly logically to the position that you cannot be mind, because basically the ego teaches us that, yes, in fact, we have attacked God by separating, by coming into this world of form as, you know, a hiding place, really, from God. So it's evidence, then, that we certainly can't be mind if we have, in fact, pulled off this separation. So the ego, then, it needs our allegiance because it needs our belief in it to keep going, because what is it, like we already read, but absolutely nothing. It's just a tiny mad idea, and but it doesn't want our allegiance as we really are, because if we knew who and what we really are, that we are that pure love, then we would see that we don't need the ego at all. And so it doesn't want our allegiance as we really are. It just wants our allegiance to be sort of involved in its delusional thought system. Because like it says, otherwise the light of your understanding would dispel it. I know this is sort of abstract, heavy stuff, so if anybody has an example that comes to mind.
Well, what kind of occurs to me is, because there's really only one of us out here, and there's really only one thing going on, mm-hmm. that any time we attack what appears to be or seems to be another body, another person, or any time we attack ourselves, we are literally attacking God.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah,
because of unity, because of in truth.
Right, right. Yes, in truth, exactly. We haven't separated. We are all one. And so if we're attacking another or attacking ourselves, we believe that we are attacking God. That that's, you know, in a sense, evidence that we can actually do that if we can attack one another.
And we feel terrible about it because we know how truly ridiculous it all is.
Right, right. Oh. And I'll just throw out there, too, I'm not sure where, I know we have some folks joining us on the call who maybe have listened in before to some of the recordings, but if anybody has any questions about what some of this means, feel free to ask, because I know it can get very abstract. So let's go ahead and tackle the next paragraph.
Sorry, yes? Yeah, I was just going to say one thing.
Please.
excuse me. When you were reading the paragraph, I think what jumped out at me was the word contradict, because I think when I've read the Course, and it always hears, like, you know, the ego's attack on God, you know, that is a very abstract concept, but I think the line where it says, your thought seems to contradict his, and this makes it appear as if you are attacking him, when I looked at it as you were talking in terms of when the ego thinks it's contradicting God and is trying to get us to contradict God along and by agreeing with the ego,
mm-hmm.
it's I was in, my mind was saying it was kind of an attack on God because God just is. But if you're, the ego's telling you there can be some, there's a contradiction to that, that's where the attack comes in. And so just as that was being said, I was like, oh, maybe that's some clarity I needed, because when I replaced the word, every time it said attack God, when I thought I replaced it with contradict God, it made a lot of sense to me.
That does make a lot of sense. I'm so glad that you shared that, because I think that that is a really a perfect example and something that does clarify it a little bit more, because if we think of attack, we think of, I mean, in my mind, it's like raw, you know, like claws out, you know, sort of attack, but it's as subtle as just contradicting. So, yeah, that's perfect. Oh, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, because contradicting is like, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say very briefly that contradict to me, that word is just really resonating with me, because you read places in the Course and it's saying there's only one thought. God only has one thought, but the ego, of course, is always contradicting God, telling that there's other thoughts to choose from, and that's the main contradiction of the ego's thought system.
Beautiful.
That's perfect.
It is perfect.
And that's the two voices.
Right. The one voice is always love. That is the one thought, and then, you know, that second voice is all the ego's contradictions to that. That's perfect. Deidre, were you going to add something?
Oh, well, just what came up for me is that the only way we can believe that we are separate bodies and separate from God is the concept of attack, because that is what causes guilt. So isn't that, in a sense, contradiction? That's kind of what I was thinking about. Because there is no God. We can't be separate from God. We are God essence. And God essence does not attack.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
There you go.
Yep. Love it. The Holy Spirit is speaking through all of us, as always, but very clearly. Very clearly. Thank you so much. Okay, next paragraph. The ego wants no part of truth, because the truth is that the ego is not true. If truth is total, the untrue cannot exist. Commitment to either must be total, since they cannot coexist in your minds without splitting them. If they cannot coexist in peace, and if you want peace, you must give up the idea of conflict entirely and for all time. While you believe that two totally contradictory thought systems share truth, your need for vigilance is apparent. Your minds are dividing their allegiance between two kingdoms, and you are totally committed to neither. That makes me laugh, because how true is that? So,
now I'm starting to feel guilty.
Hand that over to the Holy Spirit quickly.
Oh, it smokes.
But it's. I mean, just what jumps out at me is, thinking about my own experience and, you know, being okay with letting a little bit of light in or a little bit of love in, but not too much, because I'm not ready to let go of, you know, Corinne as I know her, or, you know, this world of form, whatever it is that we may, you know, be attached to in our happy, in our separated state. And yet, as I'm speaking, I'm also thinking, you know, we don't lose anything either. There's absolutely no sacrifice. But that just makes me chuckle, just with not being totally committed to either one. So again, to either thought system. So again, that's where, as we build up our trust and learn that we really do want truth, that's when our allegiance, you know, we start really shifting over to really truly wanting the peace of God and not being committed anymore to the ego. Thoughts about this paragraph? What jumps out at you?
This is Megan again.
Hey, Megan.
So for me, obviously truth, I think, just keeps jumping out at me. And I think just even in my life, once I started being more truthful, I think I'm naturally falling in more in line with the Course rather than, you know, if you're going with the ego, you always have to, you don't always tell the truth and you have to manipulate and try to sort things out again. So I just think that truth is really resonating with me that, again, if you just be truthful and stick with your guide, that that is picking the side rather than having to deal with all the mess of, like, changing things or not being totally truthful because you think you're, you know, going to hurt somebody's feelings or, you know, just that whole madness of games you can get into.
Right,
That just, like, you know, the whole truthful aspect, I think, is just been... I just lost my train of thought, but that's,
no, that's
essentially
that's
what I was trying to say.
Yeah, that's great, and that speaks to me. What jumps out to me from what you were just saying, too, is that vigilance, you know, that vigilance for truth, for choosing, you know, for your inner guide instead, and being vigilant to do that rather than getting caught up in the ego's games.
Definitely, exactly.
Awesome.
I think what jumped out for me is in the line where it says, if they cannot coexist in peace, and if you want peace, you must give up the idea of conflict entirely and for all time. I think what jumped out for me is I replaced the word conflict with contradict. And for me, I think that's going to be like a word I work with for a while. Just if you give up the idea of contradiction entirely and for all time, it's like about giving up every contradiction that the ego presents us of God, like giving up all the contradictions of God that we have in our mind. I'm really going to have to, like, sit with that because I feel like that's going to make a big difference in...
That feels more doable to me.
Yeah. Because, you know, conflict is such a... For me, that's a very concrete word.
Yeah.
As far as, like, in relation... But if you feel like if you're giving up contradictions, you're giving up contradictions which are in the mind. And the Course is about the mind. And I don't know if I'm making sense, but, you know.
I'm
like,
making perfect sense.
I just feel like if you're giving up all the contradictions you're holding in your mind of things other than God, then the conflict will cease. Or it'll fully, or your energy in the conflict will be less and less until it eventually evaporates.
Beautiful. I love that. That's really, really powerful.
Yeah. Because it seems like if you give up the idea of contradictions, that's like, you know, like Paula was saying, that seems doable. Like, I'm going to give up my idea of contradictions. I mean, that seems like so simple, and I like simple, you know. Like, oh,
yeah.
Okay, I'm giving up all my contradictions. Because if you're saying there's only one thought and one idea, and the ego is always talking about the world of multiple ideas, thoughts, and blah, 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 giving up all those contradictions. I mean, that, I don't know, that just, you know, I that inspired me, I guess that's what
I'm
trying to say.
That's absolutely perfect. And I love, too, just how, you know, when we see a sentence like that and do make a substitution, you know, of a word that, you know, because we were just reading about contradiction, plugging that in there, I can just think, too, for me of, you know, another example of that where saying something just slightly different makes it that much more understandable and seemingly easier. And the example that comes to mind for me is that, you know, at times it has felt too difficult to give something to the Holy Spirit, but I'm willing to look at it with the Holy Spirit. Like, that just, to me, felt like less effort. It didn't feel as heavy. It just felt much more, you know, like, just, you know, much more easy. So I love how we can make these little... when these inspirations come to us to make these little, you know, adjustments and it deepens our experience. That's perfect.
Yeah. And that's just the Holy Spirit, you know, working in our mind, as you were saying earlier.
Right, right. Giving us what we need to hear. Awesome. Okay, so next paragraph. Actually, I'm just going to pause because my eyes immediately went back to the paragraph that we just read, and I just wanted to share, too, that the sentence that jumped out at me was the very first one. The ego wants no part of truth because the truth is that the ego is not true. I just really like that, so I just thought I'd say that. Okay. Your identification with the kingdom is totally beyond question except by you when you are thinking insanely. What you are is not established by your perception and is not influenced by it at all. All perceived problems in identification at any level are not problems of fact. They are problems of understanding, since they mean that you believe what you can understand is up to you to decide. The ego believes this totally, being fully committed to it. It is not true. The ego, therefore, is totally committed to untruth, perceiving in total contradiction to the Holy Spirit and to the knowledge of God. There's that word, contradiction, again. So this to me is another, I mean, they're all loaded paragraphs, but this one also just really strikes me because how it says what you are is not established by your perception. So think about that. How we think of ourselves doesn't change anything about how we really are in truth. How we really are in truth is not influenced by our perceptions at all, and all of our perceived problems in, you know, identifying with what we really are not problems of fact. So they're not, you know, based on anything that is fact. They're problems of understanding, since they mean that you believe what you can understand is up to you to decide. There's that sort of theme of contradiction again. So there's the ego thinking that if we can, let me pause for a minute. And if we believe that what we can understand is up to us, what is that? But again, contradicting what the understanding of God is. You know, if we're the ones deciding that what we believe that we can understand is up to us, I feel like I'm starting to not make sense. Anyway,
well, you know, I just got. I mean, it seems so clear to me that when you're thinking with the ego, this sentence, what you are is not established by your perception and is not influenced by it at all, sounds totally absurd.
Yes.
When you're thinking with the ego.
Mm-hmm.
And usually when you're thinking with the ego, you're probably not all that happy.
Mm-hmm.
But think about when you're doing something that you really love to do, and maybe you're out in nature, or you're walking at the ocean, and it's a clear, gorgeous day. This is just, this line, this sentence is totally believable.
Mm-hmm.
When you're thinking with God, and when you're doing something you love to do. So it's just, again, it's a total contradiction when you're thinking with the ego.
Yes. Yes, but when you're thinking with God, it makes perfect sense. And again, it's like that big relief. But thank goodness. And this is actually something that really, it's an idea that really helped me when I was going through a really bad anxiety period, is that, you know, I am, and it actually says this somewhere in the course, we are as safe right now as we were before the separation happened and as we will be when the separation is over, that the whole, you know, seeming separation has done absolutely nothing. No matter what we're suffering with, no matter, you know, what our struggle is, it hasn't changed the truth of who we are. It hasn't changed us in truth at all. It has absolutely no power over us. And that, to me, was just such a relief. Really helpful.
You know, what occurs to me too is on this phone conversation, connected in spirit with all of you, how easy it is to really understand it and believe it.
Mm-hmm.
But how challenging it can be when you're in other environments.
Out and about.
Out and about.
In the dream.
In the dream. But again, the vigilance is what makes it all easier over time,
mm-hmm.
Which is, time is actually meaningless anyway. But Vigilance really is the answer, isn't it?
It is. It is. And then that's all time is for, is just for us to remember who we are. So.
Yeah. I think the sentence that they are problems of understanding, you know, because under in my candle, understanding is emphasized.
Mm-hmm.
They mean that you believe what. Yeah, since they mean that what you believe, what you can understand, is up to you to decide, I feel like that is such a like a key point. We believe that we will evolve, we'll become more spiritual based on our own understanding. And, of course, the ego always wants you to have an investment in that because that takes it to the future and not now.
Right, right. That's a great point. It'll happen later.
Yeah.
It'll happen after I've meditated enough or done this enough.
Yeah, or you're in the right environment. But, you know, like, I love it. There are problems of understanding. I mean,
right.
That's like, yeah, I like that.
I like that,
we're having an understanding problem.
and really, the blessing in all of it is that in the present moment, as soon as we're back in the moment, we're home.
Mm-hmm.
So so time is really not even an issue. It's just that willingness to call on the Holy Spirit, get me back in alignment, get me back home, bring me home.
Yeah. I wanted to just add, Sonia, with what you just said, that we're just having an understanding problem. Doesn't that just take away all the guilt?
It does
for me. It does. Like,
yeah.
It's just an
understanding
problem.
Yeah,
that's
you're having
all.
A problem understanding, yeah.
Yeah, it really, that to me takes away the guilt. It feels like, oh, that's it. It's just this tiny little thing. It's just an understanding problem. I love that.
Remember, Paula, not guilty.
Not guilty.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. That's it.
And there's that lesson in the course that says, I understand nothing.
Yep.
That always helps me tons.
Definitely.
Yeah. And the one I always say when I'm just completely at a loss is, I don't know, and I will not rely on my past learning to understand the situation.
That's a good one. Yeah. Because, again, what does the ego want to do but go back to our past learning and try to.
Oh, yeah.
To,
how did you handle it before?
Exactly. When what we're being asked to do is to turn to the Holy Spirit each time and get the guidance, hear the Holy Spirit's voice in the now rather than going back to what we, you know, previously taught ourselves.
It's fun to just do a little experiences throughout your day and just notice how much you're in the past or you're thinking about the future, because we spend so little of our day focused on just being in the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
We're always thinking about what's coming next or what happened before. So it's really interesting.
It is. And what is that? You know, if we're constantly engaged in thinking about the past or the future, what is that but just a defense against the present moment? It's mm-hmm. you know, with this idea that we, you know, believe that we pulled off this separation, that isn't something that just happened once long ago. We're actively, you know, maintaining these blocks that we believe in right now by, you know, getting caught up in tons of mind wandering and thinking about the future and thinking about the past versus, you know, being in the now. So
mm-hmm.
we're making that same.
And that's the ego.
Yep.
That's the ego.
It sure is.
Yeah.
It sure is. Okay, next paragraph. You can be perceived with meaning only by the Holy Spirit because your being is the knowledge of God. Any belief that you accept which is apart from this will obscure God's voice in you and will therefore obscure God to you. Unless you perceive His creation truly, you cannot know the Creator, since God and His creation are not separate. The oneness of the Creator and the creation is your wholeness, your sanity, and your limitless power. This limitless power is God's gift to you because it is what you are. If you dissociate your mind from it, you are perceiving the most powerful force in the universe as if it were weak, because you do not believe you are part of it. I feel moved to keep reading. Perceived without your part in it, God's creation is perceived as weak, and those who see themselves as weakened do attack. The attack must be blind, however, because there is nothing to attack. Therefore, they make up images, perceive them as unworthy, and attack them for their unworthiness. That is all the world of the ego is. Nothing. It has no meaning. It does not exist. Do not try to understand it, because if you do, you are believing that it can be understood and is therefore capable of being appreciated and loved. That would justify it, and it cannot be justified. You cannot make the meaningless meaningful. This can only be an insane attempt. And I'll pause there. I'm going to see, actually, if we can finish out this section before with the few minutes that we have remaining. So does anything jump out to anybody in these two paragraphs?
What jumped out for me was do not try to understand it, because you're trying to, because if you do, you are believing that it can be understood and is therefore capable of being appreciated and loved. I think that's something that becomes very contentious for people on a spiritual path, because they start talking about the things the ego has done in their life and how they still love and appreciate these things. And I know that I've been in places, not recently, but a long time ago, where if I said something that seemed to contradict that, it seemed like the other person would get upset.
Mm-hmm.
Because you weren't accepting of their idea that the ego was valuable and deserved to be appreciated and loved.
Right.
And the sentence that follows just says, you know, that would justify it, and it cannot be justified. How can contradicting God ever be justified?
Right.
Like, I'm just stuck on that word contradiction tonight.
Yeah, I love it. I love that you are. It's really, it's helpful for all of us. It's helpful, very helpful for me. And that's where, too, how the Course says, when you do not share a thought system with your brothers, and they essentially, when you don't share a thought system, you're weakening it, and those who value that thought system will perceive it as an attack on them, and obviously are not going to be happy about it. So that came to mind for me when you were talking about that.
Yeah, I was reminded of that. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to keep reading and see if we can finish out this section. Allowing insanity to enter your minds means that you have not judged sanity as wholly desirable. If you want something else, you will make something else. But because it is something else, it will attack your thought system and divide your allegiance. You cannot create in this divided state, and you must be vigilant against this divided state, because only peace can be extended. Your divided minds are blocking the extension of the kingdom, and its extension is your joy. If you do not extend the kingdom, you are not thinking with your Creator and creating as He created. In this depressing state, the Holy Spirit reminds you gently that you are sad because you are not fulfilling your function as co-creators with God and are therefore depriving yourselves of joy. This is not God's will, but yours. If your will is out of accord with God's, you are willing without meaning. Yet because God's will is unchangeable, no real conflict of will is possible. This is the Holy Spirit's perfectly consistent teaching. Last paragraph. Creation, not separation, is your will because it is God's, and nothing that opposes this means anything at all. Being a perfect accomplishment, the sonship can only accomplish perfectly, extending the joy in which it was created and identifying itself with both its creator and its creations, knowing they are one. Okay, so let's back up and see. Does anything jump out to anybody in these paragraphs? Be it a question, be it an insight.
Well, this creation, not separation, is your will because it is God's. Creation, not separation. So, creation, how do you see that?
For me, so let me just look at that sense again. Creation, not separation, is your will because it is God's, and nothing that opposes this means anything at all. Creation, not separation, is your will. So creation, I see that. If I go back a paragraph or two where it says your divided minds are blocking the extension of the kingdom,
mm-hmm.
the extension of heaven or the extension of love, the extension of God, were God extended himself and made us. We extended ourselves and have our creations, this extension of this you know, pure love of heaven, of truth, goes on and on and on. And in our separated state, we're blocking that extension of heaven, essentially. So that extension of heaven, creation, to me, is one and the same. I'm not sure if that's helpful.
Well, it's just something that occurs to me is really living your life in a non-judgmental, peaceful way creates for a lack of separation and creates, you know, a much nicer life, in a sense, an easier life.
Yeah, that's where the Course says, you know, turning to the Holy Spirit and, you know, rather than judging ourselves, we're letting the Holy Spirit do the judging, which is always, you know, not guilty and a judgment, you know, of love of who we truly are. When we're letting the Holy Spirit do that for us, that's where we start to come into what the Course calls the happy dream, where things...
Yeah, where life starts to become more effortless,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and it almost seems like you're being guided from... in the simplest ways. It's just laughable sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I love Cheez-Its, the 100-calorie Cheez-Its, and ShopRite's or the A&P stopped selling them. So I had to, and I was really annoyed with that because I love them, and it's only 100 calories. But then all of a sudden, I have to make this shift. I have to buy Pepperidge Farm, those little fish Cheez-It type things. They turn out to be 1,000 times better than the other Cheez-Its. I mean, it's ridiculous, funny, silly little things I'm noticing when I am... You're only working 4 days a week throughout the month of August, and I feel such a sense of, I feel so different. I mean, so much more peaceful. And I think with that peace comes that wonderful guidance, you know, that kind of, all kinds of really nice little things start happening around you that you wouldn't even notice before because you're so stressed out. I think it's time for me to retire.
I love that example, Paula. I feel like that's a good note to end on, that the Holy Spirit will even guide us to the right Cheez-Its.
Cheez-Its! I mean, it's
that are
amazing.
That's funny. Oh, anybody else have any concluding things to share or to add?
I just want to say I really don't understand how I found this group, but I'm just grateful and I really appreciate everybody's insights. It's been very
Megan,
cool.
We're glad that you're here. We're really glad that you're here.
Yeah,
so just to, oh, I'm sorry. I think you were just, was that Deidre? Were you just saying absolutely?
Just,
I'm sorry.
I was just agreeing with you, that's all.
Okay. Well, just a quick reminder, next week will be the last Wednesday that we'll be meeting, and so that will be August 28th. And actually, my mom, Susan, will be covering the call. She'll be here next week on Wednesday. After Wednesday of next week, we will begin meeting again on Sunday, September 8th. So we're going to be switching to Sundays 8 to 9 p.m., so same time, just a different day. I'm very much hoping everybody can still be joining us.
Oh, well, I'm glad I checked in tonight. I didn't know about this change.
I'm glad you checked in, too. I wasn't going to – I'll be posting it, but I was just going to wait until the change actually happens because I didn't want to confuse anybody.
Okay.
So, yeah, my teaching schedule changed, and I had to pick up a class on Wednesday nights, even though I didn't want to let go.
Oh.
But what I'm hearing is that Sunday actually works better for a lot of people. So.
Okay.
That Sunday is September what?
September 8th.
Okay, September 8th.
So next week on Wednesday, the 28th, and then after that, the next group will be Sunday, September 8th, and Sundays there on out. All right, everybody. Thank you so much.
Good
night.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.